This is CliffCentral.com.
Let's get Anthea in and see what she has to say. It's time for us to work hard for your money. So hard for it, honey.
Oh.
Yes. Good morning, Anthea.
Never mind. No, last week I was told not to make everything a song. Okay.
Please.
Never mind.
If you don't mind, Sia. Just for today.
Shame he can't help himself.
I had to actually restrict myself.
Just for today. Yeah. Yeah, let's get someone. Let's get the professional. Disco Sounds with Anthea. I don't know if you've heard this version.
I am loving that you still find new versions of the song.
It's
after
not even me.
Like other 4 years.
Other people are finding it. I swear to you.
Brilliant.
I have nothing to do with this. People, they mail me new versions of your song all the time.
That sounds like disco in the DRC, though, with that accent.
Money.
Yeah. Very bad.
What we really need is one of our listeners to do their version again, because I did love that one.
Well, you're here now, and let's hear what you've got to say for us. On the money front, a couple of things going on. The South African unemployment rate came out last week. How are we looking?
Oh, terrible. And market commentators really were up in arms. And it's so weird. I'm not sure why. It's as if they didn't expect this. So unemployment increased by 0.5% to 27.6%. Very disappointing, obviously. But I'm almost kind of, like, I kind of listen to everyone commentating and going, well, what were you expecting? You know, we've gone around changing the constitution to change property rights. You don't really think that foreign investors are going to come into South Africa and go, yes, why don't I build a factory on this piece of land, buy this piece of land, build a factory, and maybe they'll take it away from me. Yeah. Or, even worse, maybe they won't let me expatriate my profits.
Yeah.
And the funny thing about it is I think Cyril got it, because the next day he was speaking at some conference and he actually said, I actually wrote it down here. So he said, we would not ask, or government would not ask foreign investors to put money into South Africa and then tomorrow take your land away. And he was saying that this is not something that any sensible person does, which I thought, well, that's a bit of a turnaround from pre-election kind of ramblings.
How dare he refer to the ANC as sensible? He knows they're not okay. Sensible. He's in there.
Funny what you pick up on.
No, okay. I mean, I'm telling you, know, I'm taking him at his word.
Sure.
What he's basically saying is all those people who've been supportive of expropriation without compensation, including me, because that's what he did support in Parliament, these people are not sensible. That's what he's saying.
There you go.
And of course, here it is. You know, logic and reason will always win over all your fantasies. And your fantasy might be that you can get international people to bring their money here and you can just steal it. Your fantasy might be that you can just expropriate people who own something now because you think it's unfair that they have something and you don't. But rationality and reason will always win out the day. People know not to give their money to lunatics.
Yeah.
And that's what Cyril's trying to now patch back together.
Exactly. He's saying, be cool about it. Be smart. And
it was at the Goldman Sachs talk.
Oh, was it? Yeah. Oh, okay. Were you there? Did you hear him talk? Oh, okay.
I don't go to things with Cyril.
Oh, right. Are we not happy with Cyril at the moment? What are they? Government Sachs, as they're called in the U.S., eh? So I've done quite a bit of work recently just from an economic system point of view, and what I read such a great article 2 weeks ago that said redistribution does not work. And the reason I'm saying this is because I'm looking at whether capitalist or socialist or communism or blah, 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 all those different economic systems, and trying to get my head around what's a good one. But, and you know, none of it's purist, right? We don't have a pure capitalist system. And you probably will never find it. But redistribution does not work. That I do know.
Well, good luck to all those people who still think it does, and I hope you find a way to make it successful without killing another 100 million people. Because that's what history has given us so far. That's the death count for socialism so far.
Wow.
100 million. Makes Hitler look like he's playing in the fields.
Jeepers.
Yeah. If you add up the Soviet Union, Maoist China, Fidel Castro's Cuba, all the South American countries that at some point have flirted with this Bolivar and Che Guevara and all of these guys, go and have a look at them. You've got countless examples of this being done in the Eastern Bloc, in Eastern Europe, you know, Ceausescu and all of these people. And then you've got those countries that were allied to, you know, China and Russia in the East during the Cold War. The death toll is mounting.
Gareth, I'm not sure how you attribute an economic system to death. Are these people who were killed because they opposed it?
Social engineering. So what happens with socialism is all about the government makes the rule and everybody has to follow it. And their purpose, their stated purpose, is to make everybody equal. Mm. And to do so, you really have to deal with those who don't comply.
Yeah.
And often that means death.
Oh, that's awful.
So we're not talking about capital flows or changes in ownership or any of this stuff.
It's how my mind works.
Kolkhoz and Sovkhoz forced labor camps and farms. And I mean, Stalin was the master at this and he couldn't even get it right. So what chance does any current dictator have?
Oh, please, can we move on? It's suddenly got very depressing.
But this is all right. You can go. The only book that you need to read in respect to this is Alexander Solzhenitsyn, who wrote a book called The Gulag Archipelago, which is worth as much time as you have. Every single second you spend with that book will be worth it.
Okay. Archipelago.
Archipelago, yeah. The Gulag
Archipelago.
Archipelago. Thank you very much. All right, so let's get back to the story.
Okay, so
unemployment.
Well, we're done with that, right?
Are we not miserable about it?
Yes, we're a bit.
Young people in particular are... Over 60% of the young people in South Africa are unemployed. That's a very scary number.
Two out of three, yeah?
Yeah. And remember, a lot of these people will never get jobs. Yeah. There's the scarier statistic. It's not just that these people are unemployed, but as we've said before, a lot of them are unemployable. They don't have any skills. They are not literate. They are not numerate.
There's a lot of talk about including the informal market when you look at employment, but I'm not sure that's the answer to it. Like, that's just a cop-out, quite frankly. And then, of course, the expanded rate is 38%. Those are people who have stopped looking for employment. So, for sure, these unemployment numbers are very depressing. But what were you expecting? Mm-hmm. It's time to get economic growth.
Let's look at some other stuff.
Yeah. So we had a few companies reporting last week. Netcare, they guided to headline earnings per share up 3.5% on an adjusted basis. I think the main feature of Netcare's trading statement really was that Discovery's hospital plans are actually impacting their network, so Netcare being one of them, and basically keeping people out of hospital. So what you're seeing is occupancy falling from 65.3% to 64.5%, which seems low, but if one insurance company impacts kind of bed occupancy rates, then it definitely impacts on the hospital's revenue or profit generating ability. So I think that was quite interesting.
Right.
And basically, I would say the growth really came from Akeso, which is one of the hospitals that they acquired last year.
Wow. All right.
Vodacom, pretty much the same story. Really ugly. They're really struggling in South Africa. These numbers were an absolute disaster. If it wasn't for Safaricom, which is the African business, I think it would have been even worse. They missed on both sides of headline earnings and dividend consensus. Headline earnings declining by 6.6% and dividends declining by 2.5% for the full year results. Oh, wow. And then, of course, the BEE transaction, the Yebo Yetu transaction, cost them quite dearly this year as well. And I think just also, you know, the competitive environment is getting more difficult for Vodacom.
What's the Yebo Yetu thing?
That's Vodacom's BEE scheme.
Okay.
And basically, it matured out of the money.
What does that mean?
It means nobody made a profit and the banks lost and the company had to pay for it and.
Ay, ay, ay.
Yeah.
Okay. Another great success story for BEE. All right. What about Dis-Chem? What can you tell us about them?
Yeah. Where do I start? Revenue growth was up 10%, which sounds great, but because of the strikes, we were expecting 13%. So it was disappointing, and definitely the market did not like this number. headline earnings per share, which is the real number we look at because we want to compare apples with apples, not just revenue, was up 7%. And the most important factor here was the strike, which resulted in 50 million rand in direct costs and 26 million rand in indirect additional financial impact or loss of sales. So, yeah, I think Dis-Chem just struggling a little bit as well to get going there. It, you know, it's an interesting model because you have to wonder how they're going to expand because really Dis-Chem's model is now, after they've set up all these big shops with not just what do you call it, retail goods, you know, like perfumes and lotions
like
and that.
A super hypermarket of chemists.
Health and
stuff.
Wellness. Yeah. They also do these pharmacies.
Pharmacies.
And they're also now buying up the mom and pop pharmacies, the little small pharmacies. So I don't know if you've noticed, but they're suddenly starting to disappear.
Oh, really?
The issue is, though, you cannot run a pharmacy, you cannot officially open a pharmacy if there is not a pharmacist on the premises. So if you're buying out a pharmacy, a mom and pop's pharmacy, somehow you have to retain the pharmacist, which is becoming an interesting issue for Dis-Chem. And it'll be pretty much the same with Clicks, and I think you'll see that Clicks would have stopped doing that, where Dis-Chem continues to do it. And while we're talking about retailers, we also had Spar. That was a bit of a mixed bag. Normalized headline earnings per share was up 7.4%, which again seems okay. But that was really because of a big swing in Forex. You know, they had a nice big Forex gain. They've got shops all over the world. Turnover was okay. It was okay. Like, it wasn't exciting. It wasn't dreadful. They also announced that they're moving into Poland now. So we're going to have Spa Island everywhere. Hmm. Yeah. Switzerland.
Wow.
Yeah. UK.
Very
all
good.
Over the place.
All right.
Bring your spa wherever you are.
That's oh, look at
say.
That. Very
that's
good.
What they say. So two new listings that are interesting to us, and we've spoken about them innumerable times, but MTN Nigeria.
Finally.
Going
right?
ahead.
Yay,
huh?
Finally MTN Nigeria listed. How long have we been talking about this?
Since the beginning ridiculous. Of Game of Thrones.
The look on your face, Anthea, it's genuinely got you so relieved and pleased.
All right. Well, you know the MTN story. Sia, you know that they've got problems with the Nigerian government. You know that they need cash. So when they list, they basically sell off shares and they take the cash, because what would happen is people like you and me in Nigeria would have bought shares. MTN gets the cash for their shares, strengthening their balance sheet, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I look so happy. They floated $6.5 billion on Thursday. They are now the second largest company on the Nigerian Stock Exchange after Dangote Cement. So there you go. Very exciting. Yep. And not only that, but the share was up 10% on Friday, its second day of trading. That's after closing 10% higher on Thursday. So basically a 20% gain, nominal.
And tell us about Uber.
And then Uber. Uber's long-awaited listing. I mean, I don't even know what to say about this. The first day, the share fell 8%. The second day, it fell 5%, I think. It listed at $45 per share, raised $8.1 billion of cash, so cash to the company, valuing the company at $82 billion. So this is for a company, by the way, that has not made or turned a profit yet and has no plans in the near future. Or if they do have plans, they're not telling us about
to
it.
To turn a profit. So,
yes.
We have no plans to make a profit, but go
but
ahead and invest.
But you're worth $82 billion.
Dollars. Sounds good to me.
There were all sorts of stories over the weekend about how one of the Uber employees had to resign because of the parties they had. One of the branches had to be closed down because apparently there was a note going out saying, please be respectful, don't drink too much alcohol, don't party too hard.
Sure.
You can kind of see that company culture, right?
It's the basis of a very successful company.
And they say don't drink and drive.
There you go.
Well, drink an Uber. Yeah. Maybe it's promoting business, actually.
Sure. Yeah. I hope it wasn't the drivers at the party. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, yes. That would be a good point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I hear you're talking about Bitcoin later.
Yes, we are. We're talking to guys who started a business not so long ago. It's called Revix. I don't know if you've heard about it.
No, I haven't. Tell me.
They are a revolutionary new cryptocurrency investment platform, making it safe and easy for South Africans to invest in cryptocurrencies. So they sell these things in bundles, which allow you to effortlessly own a diversified portfolio of the world's top cryptocurrencies. Because there are a lot of these smaller altcoins yes. people don't know about. And if you do know about them, you're not sure whether you should get in or whether you should get out or whether you should stay the hell away. And they do all the research for you. They will put together these bundles. You increase your return potential and reduce your investment risk, while their automatic rebalancing will ensure that you always get to hold the top assets. So,
oh, wow. Some of them have made a bit of money because Bitcoin has practically doubled in the last 6 months, right?
That's correct. We're back. We're back on there.
$8,000, or somewhere near there, right?
That's right. And we're going to speak to Sean Saunders just now. He's from Revix, and we'll find out from him what it's all about.
I'll definitely be listening in.
Marvelous. Thank you, Anthea.
All right, guys.
All right. Very good. Anthea Gardner, The Money Shot, CliffCentral.com.
This is CliffCentral.com.